MZTV.
Matthew 7, verse 22, our Lord speaking, many will be declaring me in that day, Lord, Lord, was it not in your name that we prophesy and in your name cast out demons and in your name do many powerful deeds? And then shall I be avowing to them that I never knew you. Depart from me, workers of lawlessness. How can this be? Because there are millions upon millions, hundreds of millions, perhaps even billions of people who say that they believe in the Lord, who honor the Lord with their lips only, but their hearts are far from them. One of the jobs of the evangelist is to expose the outer whitewash and to dig down to the foundation to find out if the faith is real. And anyone who has a heart to save people from this traumatic experience that hundreds of millions will have to endure, to have the Lord say this to them when they were convinced in their minds that they were good, they said the right words, they thought they did the right things, and yet it turns out they didn't. Let's follow through here on verse 24. Everyone then who is hearing these sayings of mine and is doing them shall be likened to a prudent man. Okay, this is the circumcision gospel. So it's hearing and doing. But in Paul's gospel, I want to come back here to Matthew 7. In Paul's gospel, it's hearing and believing. Listen to what happens to these same types of people who have the outward appearance, who have the words, but they don't have the belief. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8. Paul says, in the last day, in flaming fire, the Lord will be dealing out vengeance on those who are not acquainted with God and those who are not obeying the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall incur the justice of aeonian extermination from the face of the Lord, whenever he may be coming to be glorified in his saints and be marveled at in all who are believing, seeing that our testimony to you was believed in that day. We're looking at true belief. And there is a wildly large group of people who do not have true belief. They have all the right words, but they don't have the belief. And this is my obsession. This is my passion, is for these people. And relatively speaking, now I am trying to save them from this aeonian extermination by shaking them down now before the flaming fire of vengeance during the tribulation shakes them down later. Believe me, it will be much more pleasant to expose these feigned believers now than it will be then. It'll be better for them. And we think we're hurting their feelings, and we think we're being mean, and we think we're being ungracious. How about flaming fire dealing out vengeance to those who are not obeying the evangel? To obey, it's a two-part Greek word, to hear and to heed. That this is about heeding the belief, hearing and heeding. It is being in accord with the belief of the evangel, which Paul gets into in 1 Corinthians 15. But back to the circumcision gospel in Matthew 7, the principle is the same here. Jesus says, everyone then who is hearing these sayings of mine and doing them shall be likened to a prudent man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the rivers came, and the winds blow, and they lunge at that house, and it does not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. What is the rock? The rock in the circumcision gospel is works, is doing. But in Paul's gospel, it's believing, it's understanding the evangel. And wouldn't it be good if the rain that came and the rivers that came and the winds that blew were to test that man's house ahead of time and found it to be founded upon the rock, found it to be real? Then that person wouldn't be in this predicament. I am the rain and the wind and the river that lunge at your house. I will lunge at your house to test to see if your belief is real. Because in the evangel itself, in the very declaration of it, and we don't look at this very often, we ignore these words. We love the words, I give over to you what I also heard, that the Lord, that Christ died for our sins, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, according to the scriptures, he was entombed and he has been roused the third day, according to the scriptures. But what comes before that is just as important, and we ignore it. Chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Now I am making known to you, brethren, the evangel which I bring to you, which also you accepted, in which also you stand, through which also you are saved, if you are retaining what I said, retaining it. Retaining what I said and bringing the evangel to you outside and except you believe feignedly. This is so important because people hear, but they don't retain. And there are some evangelists, even in our own circle, who all they want to do is hear the words. And as though the evangel consists of magic words. That if you just say that you believe in the death of Christ, then you do believe in the death of Christ. Do you believe in the death of Christ? Yes, I do. Okay, boom, got another member of the body of Christ. Do you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? Oh, yes, I do. Boom, got another member of the body of Christ, as though magic words are the essence of the evangel. But I say to you, and I've said this many times before, every single Christian who says they believe in these things, don't. They don't. And nobody wants to be the wind. Nobody wants to be the rain that lashes the house, that exposes it, to prove to the house itself that it is built on the sand. And everyone who is hearing these sayings of mine and not doing them, in Paul's gospel, this translates into not believing them. They shall be likened to a stupid man who builds his house on sand. The rain descends, the rivers came, the winds blow, they dash against the house, and it falls. And the fall of it was great because the teaching was not believed. The teaching was not believed. And I don't know how many times I've said this, but I see it more clearly than ever now because of the latest controversy, once again, is that the first element of the evangel is expose. What do you call it when you're outside and you're naked? Or when you're outside, you don't have a good enough jacket for the elements. You're exposed. You're exposed. The first element of the gospel that Paul heralds, the first element of doing it, of announcing it, according to Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, expose, rebuke, and entreat. But there are a couple people in the body of Christ who only want me to entreat. Martin, why can't you bring us happy, positive messages? Like Clyde Pilkington and Dean Wilkinson and Chris Garnahan, happy messages. Why do you have to name names? There's only a couple people. The majority of you get it, and you're thankful for it. And many of you, I have shaken you down. I have been the wind that blasted against your house. I have been the wave that lashed at your house and proving to you that, oh, holy shit, I really wasn't founded on the rock. I thought I was, but it was just sand. I didn't really believe my own profession. And there's going to be billions of people who don't. I have a heart for those people. And that's part of bringing the words of aeonian life. We're talking about words of aeonian life. Expose. You think it's fun to expose? That's the very first element of evangelism today. Expose. And for the few evangelists we have in our circle, I can't think of any that start with expose. You have to strip people naked who say, because it's not just about words, who say they believe Jesus is our Lord, say they believe Jesus is their Savior, say they believe that Jesus died. And now you be the wind, you be the rain. Because it's better to do it now than later. It's better that they hear it from you now than they hear it from the Lord Jesus Christ or in the circumcision gospel or before they realize that they're going through the tribulation. That's what Paul's talking about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In flaming fire, dealing out vengeance to those who don't hear and heed our evangel. Why don't they? Because they're feigned believers. The word feigned, back to 1 Corinthians 15. If you are retaining in what I say, katecho is the Greek word there. K-A-T-E-C-H-O. Two-part Greek word. Kat is down and echo is have. Down have. If you are retaining it, Paul says. I brought it to you. You said you believed it, but that's not enough. But for most evangelists today, that's enough. They said it. They said it. They told me they believed in the death of Christ. Did you blow against that house to see if it was founded on the rock? No. Why? Because I wanted to be gracious to them. I didn't want to make them feel bad. How bad are they going to feel when they show up at the great white throne and look around and say, what happened? They're at the great white throne and they say, what happened? Lord, why didn't you send me an evangelist? Well, we sent you a couple of evangelists, but their main goal was to comfort you, to be nice to you, to not make you feel bad, to make you feel accepted, to make you understand the grace of God. And so, what kind of grace is this, Lord? Well, and you see, I am not only a teacher, but I'm a teacher of the teachers and an evangelist to the evangelists. And I feel like I'm sending some of you out to do it right. So that when you talk to people, you're just not going to take people's word. You're going to probe deeper. You're going to be the wind that blows against the house and tests it. And they'll be damn thankful to you for that. When you expose them, number one element of the gospel, expose. Number two is rebuke. We don't even get to entreaty till the third part. And yet some people tell me, just a couple people, we want you to entreat. Just entreat. Let me ask you this. What is the difference between you and the people Paul's referring to in 2 Timothy 4, 2? That says people want to heap up teachers in accord with their own desires. They want their hearing tickled. Now, I realize that you folks who want me to just always bring positive, uplifting message. Never criticize people. Don't mention names. Keep it clean. Keep it neat. Keep it happy, Martin, please. We want to be uplifted. Oh, you want to be uplifted. What about other people? What about people for whom this is a matter of Aeonian life or Aeonian death? What about those people? Do you care about those people or do you just want your hearing tickled? Yes, of course, you're at another level of understanding. You're at another level of revelation. But I find the principle is the same in tiny, tiny portions of the body of Christ even. That there are a couple, just a couple among you who want your hearing tickled. And you heap up teachers who are clean, who are nice, who are not mean, who are not naming names. But that's in accord with your own desires. It's not in accord with my desire. My desire is to bring words of Aeonian life. I have a heart for these people who are looking down the barrel of the tribulation and they think they're believers. They're convinced in their own mind they're believers. And then they're going to be going through the tribulation and say, what the hell happened? Why didn't somebody take me by the shirt collar and make sure I believed the truth? Why didn't somebody do that? Because they were all trying to be nice to you. They were trying to show grace to you. They wanted to give you the benefit of the doubt and respect you as a person. Meanwhile, their car's getting bombarded by 90-pound hailstones and the locusts are at their door. And believe me, nothing you can do today will be as bad as that. And what is the bad thing you're doing? Expose them. Strip them naked. That is the number one element of evangelism for a reason. You don't think the Apostle Paul was a pain in the ass? You're damn right he was a pain in the ass. Just read his letters. He was constantly following up because of this feigned belief, because people weren't retaining it. That word feign is eike in the Greek, simulate. That's the English element, simulate. So we have people who are simulated faith because they're saying it but not believing it. And we have people who are not retaining it. That is to down have. To down have. Like, do you have this? People say, yes, I believe in the death of Christ. I promise. Do you have this? What do you mean? Well, do you believe in the Trinity? Of course I believe in the Trinity. Then you can't believe in the death of Christ. Martin, there you go again. The same notes again. But some people still aren't getting it. Still aren't getting the importance of it. As if I do this all the time. I don't. Don't I bring you uplifting messages, happy messages, positive messages? I do. 95% of the time. But I have a heart for these people who are, that I want to keep from going through the tribulation because they thought they believed. Look at these people in Matthew chapter 7. How could it possibly be? They thought, they believed, they were convinced. They believed because they said the right words. Didn't we do this in your name, in your name, in your name? How could it possibly be that the Lord could say to me, I never knew you? And how could all these Christians be going through the tribulation? Because they believed faintedly. They did not down have it. They never really had it because no one tested them. No one made them uncomfortable. No one wanted to hurt them in order to heal them. No one wanted to strip them in order to clothe them with the truth. In Romans chapter 10, Paul talks about avowing with the mouth. Near you is the declaration, Romans 10:8. Near you is the declaration in your mouth and in your heart. That is the declaration of faith which we are heralding. That if ever you should be avowing with your mouth the declaration that Jesus is Lord and should be believing in your heart. Two parts there, avowing with your mouth and believing in your heart. Down having it, retaining it, actually believing it. What a difference. Paul doesn't leave it at that, avowing with your mouth. You know, I looked up, how many people did Billy Graham bring to the Lord? And I went to Wikipedia. Quote, Graham operated a variety of media and publishing outlets. According to his staff, more than 3.2 million people have responded to the invitation at Billy Graham Crusades to, quote, accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And there are some people today in the body of Christ who will say, well, that's it. There's 3.2 million members of the body of Christ. Are you kidding me? You think it's that easy? Billy Graham just wanted a notch on his belt. Well, they came down to the altar. They said the words. They said the sinner's prayer. Did they retain it? Hell to the no. Was it feigned? Yes. And the winds and the rain aren't going to come till later when it's too freaking late. How about we bring those rains now? How about we bring that wind now? How about we test that structure now? And bring them words of aeonian life and make sure they believe it like Paul did constantly, sending his friends out to make sure that they got it, to make sure that they were retaining it. Well, I have a heart for these millions and millions of people who are facing aeonian extermination from the face of the Lord. And those are the words of our Apostle Paul. Aeonian extermination from the face of the Lord because our evangel was not believed. And as though, again, I'll say this again, as though the evangel, as though believing the evangel is just saying the magic words. That's what Billy Graham thought. Billy Graham thought, you say the sinner's prayer, you're in, and he put a notch on his belt. 3.2 million members of the body of Christ. Really? No. You know the answer is no. And anyone who takes these Christians at their word is like believing that the whitewashed sepulcher contains gems, jewels, gold, precious articles instead of the bones of the dead. Jesus looked right through the Pharisees who claimed to be sons of Abraham, and he said, no, you're sons of Satan. And the wind blew against those houses. And we don't know this, but some of them might have been saved because of that exposure. Some of them might have been shocked into the truth. The series I did in 1996 was called Shock Therapy in Paul's Evangel. It's a two-part series on exposure and rebuke. The subtitle was Shock Therapy in Paul's Evangel. You got to grow a pair for this. You really do. And again, you have to have a heart for real belief, not feigned belief. I mean, this is in the announcement of the evangel. Paul prefaces the great announcement of the evangel with, if you are retaining what I said in bringing the evangel to you outside and except you believe feignedly. Feigned belief is an epidemic in today's world. And anyone who takes at face value people's outward confession doesn't understand the hour we are in. Doesn't understand the relentless onslaught of religion and the doctrines of demons, which keep people who confess the truth in total darkness. Still, even after confessing the truth, total darkness. And not understanding the gospel of Paul. May God continue to give us, me and you, those of you who take this word out, don't accept yes for an answer. Don't test it. Inquire, probe. It's better to make them feel uncomfortable now and to give them the shock therapy necessary for them to come to a realization of their own inner deceptions and bring them to a realization of the truth. It's better that than the flaming fire of Christ that will deal out vengeance. These are the words of our apostle of grace to those who are not obeying the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure you get it right and make sure they get it right.